It's time for the gardening show.
I have a European beech tree.
I've got one, too, and I dearly love it. So.
Oh, I love it, too. I hug it once in a while. It's silly, but what the heck, you know.
Never hurts.
Got a question for your gardening expert, Dr. Dean Crosscoff? Call 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957.
I have a rose bush, and it is 52 years old.
Horticulturist Dr. Dean Crosscoff is your host on the program filled with helpful information on lawn care, tree problems, gardens, crops, pests, everything and anything gardeners need to know.
I'm hoping that maybe I can get it moved without it dying.
Dean spent almost 30 years teaching horticulture at Michigan State University, and he served as the Integrated Crop Management Agent for Southeast Michigan's MSU Extension Service. The Gardening Show and your calls coming up next on News Talk 760 WJR. Now, back to The Gardening Show with Dean Crosscoff.
Welcome to this edition of The Gardening Show, and you can join me, 1-800-859-0957. Or if you email me, like Kevin in Oak Park, Carol in White Lake, Helen in Birmingham, and Larry in Hamtramck, I'll get to your emails, too. And if you're looking at my website, it's on our flagship station, WJR.com. Click on the air. Down the bottom of that, you'll find Weekend Experts, and then you can find my website. And you can email me, but I apologize, I just can't email you back. It'll have to be on the air. So Kevin and Carol and Helen and Larry, I hope you're out there because I'm getting to you today. But 1-800-859-0957, and I've got some lines open. But one line is tied up, and that is with my guest, and that is Renata Ribbeth, who is the perennial manager at Michigan State University's Horticulture Demonstration Gardens. Renata, welcome back to The Gardening Show.
Thank you, Dean. It's nice to be here.
Oh, it's always nice to talk to you because that means it's spring, and that also means that the annual plant sale is coming up, and it's not that far away, right?
No, it is starting next Friday, actually, for our members, and then to the public on Saturday.
Now, that's an important point. If you're not a member of the gardening, I forgot what the name is. For the your members, whatever it is.
We just call them our garden members.
They're great people. We love them. Anyhow, you can become a member right there at the door, right?
Yes, so, you can. It's for a single membership, it's $35. And what that will do for you on that particular night is get you 10% off on your plants.
And first choice.
There's a lot of other benefits in being a member here.
Right, you know, all kinds of good stuff, but not only, the 10% is important, I'm not knocking that, but first choice is what I'm looking for.
And that is true, too. Some of the nice stuff that I have is in limited quantity, so coming in as a member, you do get your benefits.
No question of that, and that's the annual gardens plant sale coming up the 15th and 16th. Got anything really great this year, or just, you know, the quality is always superb, but what's caught your eye this year?
Well, we of course we have a great selection of perennials, vegetables, herbs, annuals, all of those kind of things. In my perennial section that I take care of, I'm definitely featuring a lot of natives again. We're really trying to promote, you know, the feeding the monarchs. So I have a lot of butterfly weed, a lot of swamp milkweed, things like golden ragwort, ironweed, cup plant, a lot of that great stuff for attracting those pollinators. And then, of course, this year, the perennial plant of the year is Geranium cantabrigiense by Acovo, which is a wonderful crane-spilled geranium, and we have a really nice selection of those this year.
Great. Always great quality. It's fun to just wander around and, how many more plants can I fit in type of thing. That's my problem. But
I know. There's never enough room in the garden, is there?
Well, no, and never enough hour time in the day to get around to everything I should do. So, you know, I have to cut the line someplace, but that doesn't mean any of our listeners have to, especially if you're not a member. You know, really trying to encourage people to become a member and support the MSU Hort Gardens and all the benefits.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that we are self-supporting here. We have to raise all of our own money for the gardens, and it keeps us going. We're trying to really make us a world-class destination as far as our gardens. you should see it out there today. It's graduation day here, and there's a ton of people here today.
Pictures are being taken all over the place, I'm
sure.
Yes,
they are.
And then, of course, weddings, and it just continues on and on. So
right,
always
actually, we have 200 people here right now for a wedding.
Oh, wow. Well,
a little crazy in the greenhouse.
Okay. Yes, it might be a good time to be out in the gardens.
Yes, it is.
Anyhow, my guest is Renata Ribas, who is the perennial garden manager at MSU's Horticulture Gardens on campus. If you'd like more information, you can check their website on my website. I have a link. And you can go to WGR.com, which is our flagship station, and then click into the top left, which is on air down at the bottom of that list that pops up. You will see Weekend Experts, and I'm in on that list. And look then in the events part of my website, and it's a direct link into the website. Plus, you got all your plant listed.
Yeah, we have the whole plant list up there so you can look and see what we have available. Again, you know, it doesn't guarantee Saturday it's still going to be there, but we try.
Give us the times again, because
on Friday night for members, it is from 5 to 7 p.m., and then on Saturday for the public, it opens at 7 a.m., and we run until 2 p.m.
72.
Also with the East Lansing plant sale. So a lot of times people come to, not the plant sale, the art fair.
The art fair,
and
right.
They will come to our plant sale and then go on to the art fair afterwards. So it's kind of nice.
It is, and certainly they complement each other. There's no question there's art on both sides of the street there.
There you go.
On that one. One thing I have, if you haven't been to campus lately, like within the last year or two, things have changed. The traffic pattern is totally different. So you might want to look at that map.
Right.
Certainly there's a lot of construction on campus with the new...
Yes, as soon as the students graduate, the orange barrels do come up.
They do come up, and you've got, if you used to cut through Bogue Street, that isn't going to be happening anymore because there's construction on Bogue Street, and of course they cut it off at the Wharton Center because of the cyclotron. So there's lots of things going on, but I have to admit that the university people, I'm not knocking them, but they do their job, and that is traffic enforcement. Park in the right lots or you're going to get a ticket. So,
correct.
No question. One last thing, Renata. You know, you talked about the plant of the year. Give me one other plant that people might not know that you've got that you might want to try.
Oh, my gosh. That's
I know. I'm sorry I did that to you. But, you know, there's always one stuck back in the corner somewhere.
Right. You know, I have some really nice things that I got in this year. I have some nice baptisias. We have one called Indigo Spires, which is really a pretty one.
Oh, that's a beauty.
It's kind of blue and a yellow. And they're in bloom right now, and they're beautiful. I actually use those almost as a shrub. They're
great.
So large and big, and I love them.
Thank you, Renata. I'm sorry time is way, but it's so much to talk about. Renata Ribas, our perennial garden manager, thank you so much. The Gardening Show. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
To the Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957. And we were just talking to Renata Ribas, who is the perennial garden manager at MSU's Horticulture Garden. And of course, May 15th and 16th is their annual plant sale. I remind the rest of us, though, if you can't make to that plant sale, don't forget May the 17th, a week from Mother's Day, is Flower Day at the Eastern Market, Detroit Eastern Market, probably the largest display and sale of bedding plants and other ornamentals in the world. And if you're a first-time visitor, don't let that intimidate you. There really is a lot. It's easy to get in and out, and it's just fascinating, not only to buy plants and talk to everybody, but just watch the crowds. It's a fun thing, and that's coming up May the 17th. Right now, though, this weekend, the North American Rock Garden Society Annual Convention continues through Sunday, and if you're looking interested in rock gardening, and I really think this is a hobby that a lot of people should really look at, because small space, little maintenance, and really unbelievable, interesting plants. They continue through May the 10th, Sunday. They have tours, nursery visits, things like that going on. And, of course, even you don't have to be a member to be on some of these. So check that out. Check on my website, WJR.com, our flagship station. Click on the air. Down at the bottom of that is the Weekend Experts, and that's where I'm at. And then you can see on the events part of that website all the information about everything that's coming up. 1-800-859-0957. Speaking of websites, Kevin in Oak Park emailed me about a problem. And if you've never used the website turf.msu.edu and you're interested in lawn questions, this is the sort of the holy grail of information, in my opinion. Again, that's turf.msu.edu, but Kevin was having some problems with it. And Kevin, I think it's up and running. He was looking at the turf control, or the weed control part, which is really quite interesting. One thing that's a little bit strange with that, and if you aren't familiar with it, it causes problems once in a while. When you log in, your email address is part of the login. It's the zip code that you use as the other part of the login. So, and it was working yesterday. So, Kevin, hopefully they were just doing some reprogramming, and it's now working for you. But that's turf.msu.edu. Let's go to the lines. Let's go to Marianne in Beverly Hills, and then Jerry in Livonia, you're up next. So, Marianne, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you for the Gardening Show. You do good work.
Oh, thank you so much.
Dean, I have a huge thistle infestation. Can you help me, please?
Tell me about which thistle it is.
I don't know.
Okay, do they come back every year?
Yes, and I've been paying a soon-to-be master gardener to take care of it.
Right.
And he told me about rhizomes and how they
exactly.
spread. And he devoted all last year to trying to conquer this, Dean, and it's just plain not happening.
Right.
My long-term goal for the area is to shorten up the garden there and plant sod to have less garden and more grass. And I will tell you, Dean, that the thistle is actually in the grass as well.
Oh, I guarantee it. Yeah. Okay. Probably, and I'm guessing, how big or round are the stems if you let them go? An inch across?
They go in a line, and how big they are, I don't let them get that big.
Right.
So I don't really know. I can't answer your question.
The reason I'm asking this is the worst one of the bunch is the Canadian thistles, and no, you know, I'm not knocking our friends across the river.
I get that.
But they probably gave it to us. This one is the one that whoever was working on that is exactly right. The problem is that you've got to kill off the root system, the rhizomes, and that takes about 2 years. Here's the trick. And it actually may work out well for you that you're going to take that bed out, because the easiest... What's in there now, besides this?
Right now, there is nothing. I have taken out some diseased trees.
Okay.
And... now, it's an empty bed.
Good.
My neighbors on both sides don't have the problem, and I don't want to infect them.
Well, you won't, but we can control it, but you just let them know to keep their eyes open, because these things are really aggressive, as you well know. This is going to work out better than I thought, actually, because I would suggest you do, and I don't know, did you use chemical control? Or what kind of control methods have you been trying?
Nothing. And one person that I called talked about something called Kilzol.
Yeah, which is a derivative of glyphosate, which is actually the first thing I was going to recommend. And Kilzol does work very well. This is the approach I would suggest. None of these materials work in the spring through the summer. What you'll do if you apply these materials, they burn off the top, but the chemical doesn't move down into the root system, so it just sprouts back, which really is frustrating.
Yeah.
So what we suggest is that since you have a bare bed, what I would get out there and do is just mulch it, you know, so it looks good. And then use Kilzol or probably a little bit stronger material. It's called Triclopyr.
Would you spell that, sir?
Triclopyr. Now, just to burn it off, go with the Kilzol or equivalent products, because they're cheaper, to be very blunt. And you're going to, instead of spraying everything, because I don't want to spray the mulch, what I would do is, and what I use, is a hand applicator type thing. It looks like a golf club, except it's a hollow handle and there's a sponge on the end. And you can get them, any of the independent garden centers can get them for you if they don't carry them.
And you just, this golf club with a sponge?
Yeah, it's a hand applicator type of thing.
It's called a hand applicator.
Yeah, talk to somebody at an independent garden center. They'll know what you're talking about.
Okay.
And the idea is you don't have to bend over. And you don't spray anything. What you do is put the material in according to the directions, and then you just rub it on the foliage every time you go by. And that will burn off the top, keep it small, try to keep it in bounds. In the fall, and we're talking about September, October, and November, here's what I would suggest that you do. At that time, you allow the plant to come up. Stop spraying in August or so. Allow them to come back up, because I want some foliage on these things. And then you go in with this triclopyr material, okay, and you apply it as a spray. So you probably have to take some mulch away. I don't want this on the mulch because it'll leach out. But just pull all the mulch out, and then you can go in and spray. And here's the spray schedule. About September the 15th, October the 15th, and Thanksgiving if it doesn't snow.
September 15th, October 15th.
September 15th, October, 1st of October, and then the 15th of October, or just depends on the winter. I have sprayed up to Thanksgiving. And as long as it's still green and everything. And that, then the material actually will move down into the root system, and that's what kills it. And you're still going to get some sprouting back next spring, but it's going to be controllable. And next spring, then you can start thinking about going in and putting in the sod. I wouldn't do it now because it's going to be too tough to try to control the weeds with that sod underneath it. You're going to do some damage. So my thought would be hold off on the sod, use a mulch until next spring, and then you should be ready to roll.
Dean, this has been very helpful.
Well, it's not going to be 100%, Marianne. You just expect that there are going to be some there. But then you just keep doing what you did before, but it'll be much, much easier to control. Talk to your neighbors, though. Tell them that I've got this problem. Tell them to keep an eye out on their property. Because if they don't, and they have a few plants over on the other side of the fence, then yours is going to be infested the next year. So you got to work as a neighborhood group on this thing. Okay?
All righty. Thank you so much, Dean.
Good luck with that. Perennial weeds, and one of the worst is thistle, are just tremendously difficult to use. I don't know of any of organic controls for those of you who would prefer to go that way. Nothing that has that residual effect of the chemical controls. So it's a tough weed. The other one that ranks up there for me as far as weed control and bad problems is poison ivy. Same idea. Boy, what a depressing thing to start out a show with. But we've got some alternatives. If you have a question about poison ivy or anything else, and Jerry on Livonia, you're online and next, but stay tuned. 1-800-859-0957, and I'll get to some more emails. So the gardening show will be right back. But again, let me give you that phone number. We've got lines open. 1-800-859-0957.
To the gardening show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957 or email me at wjr.com and go through the on the air weekend experts gardening show page, and then there is a form and you can do that. And Carol in White Lake, I hope you are listening to our discussion with Marianne about killing thistles, because you emailed me about a beautiful plant, and that's Hotinia. That's really aggressive, and if you're not familiar with it, it's beautiful, very colorful. But, Carol, your understatement says very invasive. It is aggressive. It really is. Anyhow, sometimes I've done it, too. I don't read the label, and boy, that's beautiful, and then I regret it. But anyhow, the question Carol said was Roundup did not kill it. It will kill it. Carol, but the application schedule is the same as for thistles. September, October, and November is the time to kill it off. The other trick that you might try, Hotinia takes a lot of moisture. So if you can dry it out, water stress it, in any way you can figure out how to do that, it will reduce the growth rate, which will really help reduce the issue. But it's a beautiful plant, but boy, it is aggressive. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to the lines, and let's go to Jerry in Livonia. Jerry, welcome to the gardening show.
Hi, Dean. Two questions. I have one on voles and one on vinegar. This year, I've had quite a bit of, I think it's vole damage in the lawn, basically areas where they've chewed up the grass, and it's brown and dead now. And that was significantly more than I had the year before.
Okay.
I'm wondering whether I should treat, and secondly on this, should I just kind of overseed those areas?
Describe the areas for me, Jerry.
Well, it's some of them are just like a superhighway. I'm not worried about those. It's a straight line.
Right.
They'll fill in. But other ones are as if you had a dog that went out there, did a little job, and it burnt the lawn. And that is in quite a few spots. And it wasn't a dog because it was underneath the snow.
Now, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think you got two problems. The vole issue is the straight line. And they just, you know, that's the way they have. They cut out a half tunnel underneath the snow. The snow is on top. The grass is on the bottom. So if it's in a straight line and it's about an inch, 2 inches wide, that's a vole.
Okay. Trap,
or a trail. They probably aren't active now or using it because there's just too many predators out now, you know, cats, hawks, whatever. So they probably aren't running across your yard. So I would that should start filling in, I would think. But a good raking probably isn't a bad idea. The other spots, let me ask you a question. These spots are, the damage was done where the snow drifts stayed the longest. In other words, that was the last spots to melt.
No, it because it's in different spots all over the front lawn.
Okay.
And the snow basically melted pretty much the same. I wouldn't be able to say to you one spot was a last melt and the other one wasn't, because they're in different sides of the lawn completely.
Well, what we had was probably the worst year I've ever seen for snow mold, which is a fungus that grows underneath the snow.
Oh.
But the thing about snow mold is it usually doesn't kill the grass unless you've got a bent grass lawn.
No, I don't.
Drives golf course superintendents nuts. But for most homeowners, you rake it out, the grass comes back in, you a little extra fertilizer in that area, and by the end of the summer, you can't tell any problem at all.
Yeah, basically on these larger spots, the grass was basically chewed up and brown, and I really had to rake it out of there. There was a fair amount of debris there.
Are we talking about spots dinner plate size? Are we talking about saucer size? Give me a...
I'm looking at one now that basically this one is maybe a foot and a half wide and a foot across. And the other one is kind of trails, but it's in and out of the grass, and it's not the normal super highway that I've got on one end where it's just a straight line.
Yeah.
It's a curvy deal, and it's all brown. One spot is probably a saucer size or bigger. Another spot a saucer size or bigger. And most of them are probably about that size, yeah.
All right. I still don't. Can't see the voles are active now. It's just the wrong time of year for them. There's no protection for them, so I think.
They're not doing the damage now. This was done during the winter.
Yeah, they should be filling back in though.
Yeah, they are filling back in a little bit. Yeah, I just wondered whether.
Okay. I hear you. Now,
I ought to put a little reseeding in there.
I didn't hear. I guess I misheard what you said.
Oh, whether I should reseed it?
Yeah, I don't know. How old's your lawn?
Oh, gee, probably 25 years old.
Okay, here's going to be the problem. If you want to overseed, don't just do the spots. Although there's some really good products out there that you could use, and I'm not knocking any of them. They'll grow beautiful grass. But it won't be the same color as the grass, your old grass.
Okay.
The genetics, the breeders have really worked hard on these newer types of turf grasses to make them darker green without extra fertility. You don't have to fertilize them. as you know, to get that real dark green that's genetic now.
Yeah, okay.
So you'll have some nice green spots and some lighter green spots all the way around them, and that's going to be a problem.
I see.
So here's another, you know, if you've got an area that, okay, it's bounded by sidewalks, or, you know, there's something that there's a limit to it, you might just go in and reseed all of that or overseed it. The newer grasses will take over after a period of time if you slit seed the whole area. But if you just spot them, you're going to tell. And, you know, maybe that's not a bad thing to happen. I don't know. It just depends. You're looking at it. I'm not looking at it.
Yeah.
So here's another approach, and that is just to go in and add a little extra fertility in that area.
Okay.
See if you can boost the grass to encourage it to spread out, fill that area out, and it's the old grass. Now, Jerry, I guess the question would be, a lawn that old, even if it's very highly maintained, sometimes it's about time to start thinking about renovation. Are you at that stage? Are you getting weed issues and things like that, or is it still looking pretty good?
No, it's very well controlled.
Very good, then. If it was starting to renovate, I would say just go in and overseed everything, and then you will do all that in the fall. But if it's still in good condition, let's just try to boost the vigor of the plants in those spots. Now, the only other issue I would have is if the spots are continuing to expand, then you got a fungus issue going. And if that's true, and then you need to get that identified. And to be very honest, there's no way I would try to do that over the air.
They're not expanding.
All right, that's a good sign. Let's try a little extra fertilizer, about 10% extra in those spots, and let's just see if you can boost the fertility in that way and push them a little bit.
Okay.
Is there any chance that those areas also happen to be any compaction possibilities? It's in a walk area.
It's kind of randomly distributed over the lawn.
All right. Let's try the fertility rate. When's the last time you fertilized, or are you due for one?
Due for one probably in a week or two.
All right, let's see what that does. Are you going to do it yourself, or are you going to have
somebody? No, I have it done.
All right. When you talk to the technician,
okay,
see if they can bump the rate just a little bit in those spots. I don't want more than 10% more in those areas.
Okay, good idea. Thank you for that.
Yeah, but it depends on how they're going to do it. But ask them to do that, and then let's see. Give me a call back in about 3 weeks.
Okay.
So, Jerry, and we should be able to fill it in by then, I would think.
Can I ask you one more question on vinegar?
Sure.
I hate to use all this strong stuff that goes into the soil. I know a lot of it's biodegradable, it kills everything, but vinegar does a pretty good job of taking stuff out, but it'll come back. Is that the deal?
It's not systemic at all.
Okay.
So that is enough to do it in many times. If you have very small weeds or something like that, where if you burn them off, of course, they die as they germinate, something like that, it works quite well. Or you just plan to have repeat applications. Every time you go by, you squirt them again.
They do a job on dandelions?
No.
I know they do a job topically on dandelions, but would they?
No, because the root is too big, and that's where it doesn't burn down into the root, and they just keep coming back. The thick turf will do a job on dandelions. The best weed control or dandelion control is a really good thick turf.
Okay.
So go with the fertility rate. And try that and see if you can just crowd them out. That'd be the approach I'd take. And then if you can't, then you know one application of, there's a wide range of pretty, you know, we have good track record with the materials that we use for dandelion control, and then come back in with the organic type approaches might be another thing that you think about. Okay.
Thank you very much. Wishing you a blessed day.
You too. Thank you so much. Want to join this conversation? We've got open lines. And Sylvia in Riverview, I'll get to you right after the break. But you have an opportunity to give me a call. 1-800-859-0957. Helen in Birmingham and Larry in Hamtramck, you emailed me. I'll get to those two after the break. But we've got to pay some bills. So here's the phone number. 1-800-859-0957.
Now, back
to The Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
Oh, welcome back. And before we get to the lines, I need to thank two very important people. Of course, that's Shannon Maley, who is our engineer today and executive producer. And the person on the phone is Mike Stetz. So both of you, thank you so much. Can't do it without you, as always. And as always, we got people on the line, John in Macomb, Carol in Sterling Heights, and Francesca in Macomb. I'll be getting to you. However, Helen in Birmingham emailed me, and you can do that, about clematis wilt, which is an issue. And one of the interesting things, Helen, is that, first of all, if you miss any of the show, we always have a podcast, and which means that you can go in at about Wednesday and then click on that, and you can, it's very easy to find on my website, and listen to what I said, or what I didn't say sometimes. But anyhow, so Helen, there is no real good chemical treatment for clematis wilt. The material that we used to use is not available anymore for homeowners. And most of the people, the experts that I talked to, said sanitation is the best way to go. In other words, if you do get into a situation or where your clematis dies back, immediately take that dead tissue out, get it off your property, put it in the trash or something like that, and then usually the vine will come back. The other trick that a couple of people have reminded me of, when you're planting clematis, plant them deep, at least two nodes below soil. And that means in case the top dies back, you got breaks coming up. So hopefully that helps. And remember the podcasts. Okay, let's go to, speaking of podcasts and websites, I got all kinds of interesting information on our website today because they update not only questions we get in on the air, but also interesting things. And I've got all kinds of good stuff on there. There is a way to predict, by measuring the amount of heat accumulation, when insects and diseases will happen. Great article on European pine sawfly and pine needle scale, how to predict when that's happening. And we've got some issues out there each year with European pine sawfly, for sure. So take a look at that. Also, winter injury or boxwood blight. Boxwood blight is a devastating disease that is introduced into the southern United States. We have not seen it in Michigan. It looks a lot like winter injury. So take a look at those pictures, and if you're at all suspicious, contact Michigan State University and the diagnostic lab, and we will they'll see if which one it is. Bert Craig has a couple of great articles on there about lichens, which are causing problems, but they don't cause problems. It's actually a good thing to have, but it's kind of unnerving when you look at these things growing on your trees. And also, he also has a great article about oak wilt, which we've talked about several times on this show. You can't prune after the freeze stop, and it is, I hope, spring is here. One thing, though, is that's going to be fun. I have a vegetable harvest guide available that was put out there. In other words, when to predict when I'm going to be able to get things. And here's a prediction for you. One of the best sweet corn growers in the state of Michigan, he swore that he will have Michigan sweet corn, fresh, lovely, wonderful Michigan sweet corn, by July the 10th. And I'm holding him to it. We'll see. Let's go to Sylvia in Riverview. John and Macomb, you're up next. Sylvia, welcome to the Gardening Show.
I'm back.
All right, that's fine.
I called you about a week or two Saturdays ago.
Okay.
And talked about my losing my needles on my pine trees.
Was it pine or is it a spruce?
They're spruce.
Right. That's what I thought. Pines are right now not having any issues. Spruce are really in deep trouble. Okay.
Right. And I called one person that had a arborist degree, and they said that I was too far away. So then I went to a source down near Toledo, and he said that he was going to treat it for pitch moss.
No.
And I don't think that's right.
I guarantee it's not right.
Yeah. Okay.
Did he actually come out and look at the trees and say?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Well, then I may argue that he may have seen pitch moth is a problem, but what you described is there's three or four other things on top of that.
Right. And he didn't even touch on it. So
I have my doubts.
Okay.
To be blunt. Now, pitch moth though is a problem.
Yes.
And so he may be correct in that, but I think there's an overriding issue here.
Well, that's what I thought, because the first source that I called was really a wonderful elderly man, and he said, you need to take care of this immediately.
Well, he's right, because...
And I knew he was right, because you told me that.
Well, the warm weather is just speeding everything up, and there's a very narrow window of opportunity. It's still open. Now, here's what I would try, Sylvia. Arborist would be my first choice for these things because many of them are knowledgeable and they've got the spray tanks and stuff to do it. There are some very good tree and shrub people, or they primarily do shrubs, out there that are also could do this.
Okay.
So doing a little bit of calling around would not be a bad idea. Now, let's be very blunt here. If the window closes... Is the tree going to die? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it depends on how long this has been under attack. I've lost, I'm losing two spruce right now.
Oh.
But they've been under attack for 5 years or more. So it's a slow, debilitating type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 1 year, I'd love to get it sprayed this year. You've got do that kind of thing. If you don't get it, we're going to have more opportunities.
That's
now,
encouraging.
It is, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't get on the phone Monday and start calling around.
I will.
And the other thing is, did anybody in your neighbor have tree and shrub people come in? Do you know anybody?
I saw this same gentleman someplace else, but no one else that I'm aware of.
But many times it's the best recommendation is your neighbors that had good service. But try that. Do a little calling around. And I appreciate the gentleman's refusal to make a commitment because their trucks are on the road 7 days a week right now.
Absolutely, and I totally understood.
Right.
And
that's very professional of him, but very disappointing for you.
Yes, it is. You cannot recommend anyone over the phone.
There's so many good people out there, Sylvia. Really are. Now, do a web search. The Green Industry Association, which is based up in Southfield, they're the overriding group, and they have a website, and they might be able to give you more help because they know who's the members they've got down in your area.
Oh, wonderful. All right.
Do a Google on them. I think it's the Green Industry something Association, Southeast Michigan. It'll pop. And they're really good people, and they can give you some really good recommendations. And they know people who specialize in this and are close who might be able to help. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Good luck with that, but let's not give up if you can't.
What was that disease that you said
about? There are three of them that are attacking, and nobody knows why. We've had a couple of them over the years, the Phomopsis and what have you. Why this combination? No, the science isn't there yet. So we're trying. There's something else going on. So I'm not sure exactly what to tell you. I don't think anybody knows.
Okay.
Which is scary. Okay.
All right.
Good luck.
I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Bye bye.
Bye. Let's go to John in Macomb. Carol in Sterling Heights and Francesca in Macomb. Stay on the line. If I have to go off the air, which is a possibility, stay on the line and I'll talk to you off the air. John, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. What's going on?
Well, we just moved into a house, and it's been abandoned for roughly a year or so, and the lawn's pretty sorry shape. It's crabgrass, a lot of dandelions, a lot of bare spots. Before I do any, you know, cutting, I want to make sure I'm not doing any more harm than good.
Sure, great.
You know, it's pretty much a standard size lot, so it's nothing oversized or anything like that. But I want to I'm gonna have to reseed in some areas. I'm gonna obviously have to fertilize. I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing.
John, let me give you a website, and I'll put it on my website. But it's turf.msu.edu, and you've got lawn renovation. They're the experts. MSU's turf team is as good as it gets. And they have a lawn renovation thing. It's a YouTube site, and I think you can get it on a CD. I've forgotten to look lately. So just follow the directions. The one thing that I would suggest is if you can put up with it till the fall, you know, just do whatever you do have to do to keep it green and not much else, you'll find that it's so much easier and a lot more you'll get a lot better take and all these other things if we can hold off to the fall. But check out turf.msu.edu and then lawn renovation in that, and I will put it on my website too. But congratulations on your new home.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. You've given someone great advice. I appreciate your help.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you.
Carol in Sterling Heights and Francesca in Macomb, stay on the line because I think I'm not going to get to you, but I want to talk to you off the air because I want to get to this email from Larry in Hamtramck. And he says his wife buys a hanging pot of black-eyed Susan each year, and then they die. Sort of paraphrase that. What can I do? Hey, Larry, I think instead of black-eyed Susan, it's black. What they call the common name is black-eyed Susan vine, which is, I hate common names. They're very confusing. It's Thunbergia. And it's a beautiful, beautiful vining plant, beautiful flowers, mostly yellows. There's a pale one, something like that. They're easy to grow, but here's the trick. Full sun or partial sun. In other words, at least 6 hours or more every day, if you can do it. Don't let them dry out, but don't overwater them either. What I do is go by there, and every time you go by the hanging basket, you lift it up. And if it's really light, you water it, and that's easy. Fertilize it. You can buy the liquid fertilizers that we buy, or you can. Any independent garden center has them. Even the big boxes carry them. And every other watering, you can fertilize them. Or go to your local retailer where you bought the plant and ask for a slow-release fertilizer, and that will help it. Two problems. It's insects. Whitefly is unusual. Just make sure it's clean when you buy the plant. The other one is spider mite. So what I do, every so often, I take my hose and just squirt it. And that usually keeps them down. Thunbergia, black-eyed Susan vine. Beautiful, beautiful plant. Background music means we're almost done. Have a fantastic week. The Gardening Show will be right back in a week.